someone excited to be in church on this beautiful Lord's Day? Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a special service tonight. Don't forget, it's Father's Day. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us in Koinonia with a true shepherd, a father indeed. You know, several years ago, I learned from the acrostics of father, the spelling of father, who a father truly is. F stands for the one who feeds you. A stands for the one who accommodates you. T stands for a trainer or a teacher. H stands for a helper. E stands for an encourager. And R stands for a rewarder. I believe this and much more as God's servants, our Father, Apostle Selman, being to you and I. Can you celebrate him tonight on this Father's Day? Can you shout, Happy Father's Day! Apostle Joshua Selman! Can you shout his name, Apostle Joshua Selman? We love you and honor you greatly. One more time, can you celebrate this grace? Celebrate our Father, celebrate him tonight. And there are fathers scattered all over this auditorium and even in the overflow and joining us from all over the world. Can you shout Happy Father's Day to all fathers out there? Amen. You know, we have a very awesome responsibility before us tonight. I'm not alone. I've been deputized and authorized alongside my brothers tonight. I'm just a forerunner. We're going to be bringing the word tonight on his behalf because he's not around. But we still honor him so much and the grace of God on his life. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget, around this time last year on Father's Day, he brought a word on redefining inheritance. And one of the first things he said, a father should transfer to a son, is the father's convictions. And the last thing he spoke about was the grace and the anointing upon that father to make the results the father has to happen. Tonight we have the privilege to bring teachings on some of the graces upon this house, to expound on those graces and by God's hand release some of the graces tonight. Are you ready to receive tonight? The Bible says it's with joy you draw water from the wells of salvation. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? In 1 minute tonight, if you are truly hungry for God like Jacob was on that night, I want you to cry to God, Lord, visit me with an unforgettable encounter. Tonight in the name of Jesus, are you praying? Lord, visit me with an unforgettable experience. In this service, visit me tonight with an unforgettable encounter. As I open up my heart, as I open up my spirit, I'm set to drink from the fountains of living water. I'm set to feast from the table in your presence. Visit me tonight with an unforgettable encounter. Visit me tonight. I'm hungry for more of you. I'm desperate for you. Visit me tonight with your touch, with your word, with your hand, by your spirit. Visit me tonight with an unforgettable encounter.
Oh, Rabashila. Thank you, mighty Father.
Father, we bless your name. Our hearts and our minds are opened to experience illumination from your word, transformation by your word, an impartation from your spirit. We ask, Lord, that we will not leave here the way we came, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may it please you that these graces you have so lavished upon this house and upon your angel and our Father over this house, you will cause them to find expression through the teaching of your word and even in the place of prayer as we receive and drink from your presence, in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, at the end of the day, all glory and honor will go to you, and indeed Jesus will be revealed and glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can you put your hands together for the Lord? And you may please take your seats in God's presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. I'll be starting tonight with one of those powerful graces well spoken of in scriptures called the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. We'll be taking our text from Isaiah 11 verse 2. Isaiah 11 verse 2. It says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We can see clearly from this scripture that there is such a thing as the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 19. Proverbs 3:19. Here the Bible says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. So we can see some of the operations of the spirit of wisdom here. It was by wisdom that God laid the foundations of this earth we are standing upon. It was by understanding he established the very heavens. The very heavens were established by understanding. Just to give a definition to the word understanding. Understanding, like I have here in my notes, is the ability to comprehend and interpret a matter. Understanding is the ability to comprehend and interpret a matter. It can also be seen as the proficiency that is deployed in bringing meaning to facts. When you have facts scattered on your table or facts scattered around your life, the proficiency deployed in bringing meaning out of those facts is called understanding. You will see David's son Solomon, whom his father had well tutored, speaking and giving a charge in the book of Proverbs chapter 9 verse 6. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 6. Solomon was given a charge there. He says, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. Scattered all through Psalm 119. In different verses in Psalm 119, you see David crying for understanding, calling upon the Lord to give him understanding. In Psalm 119, the verse 125, the 125th verse, David said, I am thy servant, give me understanding. I am thy servant, give me understanding. In the 144th verse of this same chapter, 144th verse, it says there, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The first time he said, I am your servant, give me understanding. Here he takes it further. Give me understanding because I require understanding to live. And then in 169 of this same Psalm 119, verse 169, look at what it says. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Why is the psalmist David crying to God again and again for understanding? I believe it's because the psalmist has come to see the importance of understanding in the success of a man, especially a man of his stature, a king that is in honor. Look at what it says in Psalm 49 verse 20. This will give you a clear understanding of why he was praying for understanding. Psalm 49 verse 20, it says, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish away. A man that is in a place of honor, A man that is a king and a priest. A man that God has called his royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. And that does not have understanding will be likened to a beast that perishes. My prayer, my cry tonight is that as these words goes forth, the Bible says the Spirit came upon me when he spoke unto me and I stood on my feet. May the Spirit of understanding rest upon us in the name of Jesus. What about wisdom? Wisdom is just a definition, is the accurate application of knowledge. Wisdom is the accurate application of knowledge. Now, I just added this bit to it, knowledge well understood. Because if it's just knowledge that you don't have a grasp of and a good understanding on, it will be difficult to apply it appropriately. Wisdom is the accurate application of knowledge well understood. Just another definition here. Wisdom is that supernatural ability to make use of the word in making decisions that are correct and also in preferring solutions to life's problems. Wisdom is the supernatural ability to make use of God's word in making decisions that are correct and preferring solutions to life's problems. It will interest you to note that wisdom, like the Bible says, is justified by our children. Wisdom is justified by the results that it produces. Wisdom produces results like exploits, results like wealth, results like influence, results like honor, results that are amazing, promotion, advancement, elevation. Wisdom is the principal thing. Like Solomon will speak about in Proverbs 4 verse 7. It says, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the secret that great men, patriarchs of old, applied that made them successful in their journey and in their walk with the Lord. It's important for you to know that there are four types of wisdom. There are four types of wisdom. As it stated in James chapter 3, James 3 verse 15 and 17. I'll quickly run through this because of time. There is the earthly wisdom, which is stated here, the wisdom gotten from common sense, that natural ability to know right from wrong. There's the sensual wisdom, like you can see. That's the wisdom from, you know, science, philosophy, ability to make research, experiments, studying. Wisdom that is called sensual wisdom. Then there is the devilish wisdom. This wisdom is outsourced by alliance and fraternity with demon spirits. It poses to be superior in its judgment, but it only comes when you are in alliance with demon spirits. Then the wisdom we are talking about tonight is in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom we are talking about tonight. The wisdom that is from above. It will interest you to note, studying through scriptures, that when this wisdom comes to walk in a person's life, this wisdom begins to produce results like character in the person. You just find out the person is making wise decisions. The person is staying away from ungodly things. The person is living a life of faithfulness. And then after, as you see character, the next thing you see is competence. You see skills in all learning. You see ability to solve problems. You see mastery of some problems. But if the person continues in this spirit of wisdom and you continue to receive more and more of it in God's presence and from his word, you will rise to a place that I call a place of capacity, where that wisdom has brought you into stature and has given you authority. You become an authority in a field or in your endeavor. And if you study scriptures, you will see these three things, these three traits, you know, characterizing the lives of different patriarchs. Let's start with Elisha. Elisha, as soon as he started following Elijah, we will see Elisha, a man that grew up in the house that was filled with wealth and abundance, coming into the service of Elijah and serving him, showing humility, showing character, and different beautiful traits. And then not only that, Elisha rose from there and became a competent man. He was able to be discerning. He was able to know the time Elijah was going to be taken away. He was able to, through him, miracles were done through him, even as Elijah sent him on errands. And then you will see a man of capacity. By the time Elijah had left, and Elisha was left, and he had received a double portion of the Spirit on Elijah, we see Elisha, a man, able to smite River Jordan, and it parted into two. Elisha, through his life, the dead was raised. Elisha was able to speak into an entire nation and shifted the economic climate of the nation by a pronouncement. That is capacity. That is capacity. Not only Elisha, what about Daniel? Daniel came into Babylon, and as soon as he got into Babylon, he came in as a little boy, as a young boy, along with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At the time, we could see character in the life of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel proposed in himself that he would not defy himself with the portion of the king's meat. He stood for God. He stood for purity. He stood for a life of holiness, a life that is yielded and sold out to the will of God. We could see character there. By the time this chapter 1 was wrapping up, the Bible speaks of Daniel excelling in his academics, being 10 times better than his colleagues. That was the beginning of Daniel's exploits. By the time we got to chapter 2, Daniel had shifted from just academic excellence. He had moved into the political scene, and he was able to solve a national problem. He was able to dream the king's dream and provide interpretation to the dream. That is competence. But Daniel did not stop there. If you continue studying the book of Daniel and you came to chapter 5, Daniel, you know, in chapter 2, he needed to go to the Lord and seek the face of God to be able to get downloads from the Lord. But by the time he got to chapter 5, capacity had come. Daniel did not need to go back to his secret place. He was carrying the secret place around. He came into the king's palace, and the king was requesting, you know, something from him that he would bring interpretation to the handwriting on the wall. Right there and then in verse 17, I want you to see this. Verse 17. It says, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gift be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. Right there and then. And then as you cross into chapter 6, you will see the secret behind Daniel's success. Daniel had built a devotion unto the Lord. He was seeking the Lord 3 times daily. And that was the secret to his wisdom. As he sought the Lord daily, he was able to rub his mind with the mind of the Ancient of Days and receive wisdom and understanding. By the time we got to the end of this chapter, you will see something interesting. Verse 28 of Daniel 6. It says, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Many of us believers, because of a new regime in a country like ours, we feel, oh, maybe things will turn around for us in the negative. But Daniel prospered in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, prospered in the reign of Belshazzar. We see him prospering in the reign of Darius, and also prospering in the reign of Cyrus. You and I are like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. All other trees depend on rain to fall, but this tree doesn't need to wait for rain. It is planted by the rivers of water. I don't know if I have two or three people here in the house tonight that believe that this is the best season in their life. Can you shout hallelujah? The spirit of wisdom and understanding will make a difference in your life. That was what made a difference for Daniel. That was what made a difference for Daniel. What about Joseph? Joseph, as a little boy, all he could do was just receive dreams and tell dreams. In fact, he didn't know how to interpret the dreams. He would need to go to his father or go to someone and say, I've had a dream, but he couldn't even give any interpretation to it. He was a man of good character. He was an astute leader, a great administrator. His brothers were shepherds, but he was a leader. He was an administrator, even from childhood. And you know, we saw Joseph in the house of Potiphar demonstrating great character in staying away from adultery, because he knew it was going to be a sin against his God, even though nobody was going to see him there. Character. Wisdom is is justified of our children. Character. And then this Joseph, by the time he got into the prison, by the time he was jailed by Potiphar, Joseph had risen from just having character and just able to receive dreams. He was not able to interpret dreams. The butler and the baker came into the same, jailhouse as Joseph. And one morning, he found them sad and he asked them, what exactly is the matter? And they told him their dreams. And Joseph was there interpreting the dreams, but that was all he could do. That was all he could do. He could only interpret the dreams. And he thought that was all there was to God and to the gift on his life. He interpreted the dream for the butler, said you will be restored. Interpreted the dream for the baker and said you will be killed. I can imagine the baker saying, what can be done about this? And Joseph saying, nothing, just wait till you die. That means Joseph threw him into greater, damnation for the next 3 days till his death. He was on death row. Joseph could do nothing about it. Because as at then, Joseph had not learned that there is a God that is able to manipulate circumstances in your favor. That there is a God that can influence variables and turn things around and play your life like a chess and prepare a glorious outcome for you. Even when the enemy is speaking woes. Imagine if Joseph had said, yes, you are supposed to die in the next 3 days, but let's pray. And Joseph was able to take the matter to God and prayed with this baker. And the king sent for the baker to be killed. And then the king changes his mind and saves the life of the baker. Definitely the baker would not have forgotten Joseph. But by the time it was 2 years after, many times we are crying to God and saying, God, send me destiny helpers. But let me tell you something. When those destiny helpers are not coming, it means God still needs you to build up in wisdom. He needs you to build up your gifts. He needs you to build up your competence. He needs you to build up your capacity. By the time it was Genesis 41, when the king had a dream, 2 years, Joseph needed those 2 years to learn how to manipulate the outcome of circumstances. By the time it was in that chapter 41, the king told Joseph his dream. If it was 2 years before, he would have just said, this is the meaning of the dream. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of leanness. And the king would say, what can we do about it? Nothing, just wait. Just enjoy 7 years and wait for the famine. But no, Joseph had increased in capacity. Joseph had risen in competence. Joseph knew how to seek the Lord's face and download wisdom and manipulate variables for a desired outcome. He said to him, let's save a fifth part. Instantly right there, wisdom on the spot. Let's save a fifth part of all the produces of the first 7 years, which we'll use in the next 7 years. And this was not just a national problem that he was solving. It was a global problem. His capacity had risen to that level. He had capacity to not only tell or interpret dreams at this point in time. He had grown in stature. He had authority. He knew how to seek God and play life like a chess and turn outcomes of things in his favor. I don't know if there's anyone here tonight. It feels like the things that are around your life, all the circumstances are against you. Tonight, as the spirit of wisdom comes upon you, there will be a turnaround in the name of Jesus. I want to God that somebody tonight, you will call upon this God and ask him to baptize you with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Can you rise to your feet? And can you call upon the Lord and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, baptize me with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. In the name of Jesus, raise your voice and pray. Sila barekete bonde la haya. Kabala bate brekete koto. Brokete brekete note. Karabate katuata. Sila baranile. Iata kepakato. Barete keto. Polieta. Yeah. Fresh baptism. Yesterday's wisdom is not enough. I need a fresh encounter with the spirit of understanding. With the spirit of wisdom. I'm forsaking the foolish. I'm going in the way of understanding. My choices will be right. My discretion will be guided. I open up my heart for a fresh baptism of the spirit of wisdom. Kayetarata. Kepekoto barate. Shipakete baralila. Sia parabaka payete kota. Kelebokoto prende katabalabaya. Arabaya la baya la baya. Sepa que te prada baya baya ba. Sepo cotombre ti la baya. Ayele bonde. Kabarianda. Can you say to the Lord, I submit myself to your training for expanded capacity. I submit myself to your dealings, your discipleship for expanded capacity. Capacity for my destiny. Capacity for my future. Capacity for your call on my life. Capacity for my business, my family, the media world, the government sector, the education sector. Expanded capacity. Kayeta da bokota. Shibakete belekonza. Rakate bokotom brehilabaya. Areleta.
Make sure you're praying for wisdom.